What's going on, good people? Welcome to the shop. Of course, I'm Jace Togs, the buff nerd, and I'm joined by that dude, the musicologist, A. Reed, host of
Let's Go.
You know what I'm saying? On Mondays, yes, sir.
You know, that was my buff nerd impression. What's up? That was my buff nerd impression. Just trying to be like,
let's go. We getting there, man. I keep working. Hey, man, you know, just doing the thing, trying to get it, keep it together, man. That's what's up. You know, back in the city, glad to be here. As you can tell, I have a little bit of a sinus infection, but I push through, and because that's what we do. Warriors do that, man. You know what I'm saying? We push through these things. We
fight through
for the people. For the people. Hopefully, James can drop in. If not, no sweat. He's out there getting a bag, and hey, all love for him for doing that, man, because we're going to go to Sizzler after this.
All right. I was laughing at that gift. Crazy, bro.
Oh, man. But of course, let's do a little housekeeping here. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Of course, Chop Shop on Wednesday nights, 8:30. Thursday, you're going to see a special episode of Blurtitude in commemoration of Spider-Verse coming out. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit more of The Last of Us. We're going to talk some GGV3, of course, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, kind of what's coming up next, some anime, some cosplay. We'll talk about Comic Palooza that we just went to, Karami Kaz and myself did in Houston. So we're definitely going to have that coming up after that. You'll see Two Birds, One Show, them dudes from Philly. My gosh, Philly sports, they crying up there. It's a dumpster fire in Philly.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
It's a dumpster fire.
I feel for the true fans. I don't feel for the makeshift fans in Philly. But I feel for y'all.
You know what? I don't, because they live in Philly. They knew what they were doing. suck it. But they'll be talking Philly sports and craft beer. It's what it is. I don't care. And craft beer. They got a couple of new segments coming up, so make sure that you check those guys out. Of course, Mondays you can catch that guy right there, the musicologist, on the Monday Man Caveman. He came with it this past Monday with the 90s sitcoms.
Man, very good. Cool.
Thank you, man. Great piece. Yes. So make sure that you check that out. Big Game Sports and Entertainment Network, BGSE, where sports and entertainment collide. Again, make sure that you like, subscribe, and share this out. And, of course, we want you to chat with us so we can chat back at you.
Please.
You know how it goes in the Chop Shop. Hey, protect your neck, okay? Tonight is going to be pretty lively. We got some pretty good topics coming up. Tonight, of course, we're going to be talking about, hey, is it a good idea to just completely overhaul your squad if you don't make it, or should you just try to add more pieces, right? A piece here, a piece there. That's a really good one. And we're going to be, you know, we're going to make sure that, oh my gosh, what just happened there? That we're talking about. And look, analytics, do they hurt or do they help? A lot of coaches, a lot of teams, a lot of programs have gone to analytics, and they claim that this is really how they make decisions on the plays, on the players, and the moves they make. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And then finally, we're going to talk esports and the rise of the e-league and e-athlete. Do you think at some point in time in the future that we'll see they will overtake, quote unquote, real sports? It's gonna
be good. We'll see.
The numbers.
The numbers don't lie.
They could be manipulated, but they don't lie.
We're gonna see, man. We'll definitely be seeing here in the future. So.
Oh, absolutely. But let's jump into this first thing, man. And when you put this out, really, you were like, look, we got to talk about this. And I agree. Overhaul versus pieces. You know, we look at We look at LA, we look at Boston, we look at Phoenix, Brooklyn, you know,
Dallas,
Golden State, Dallas, you know, is it time for overhaul? If you don't make it, like, let's talk about the two teams that were in the finals last year that are not there this year.
Okay.
Boston and Golden State.
Okay.
For those teams like that, do you say it's time for an overhaul? Or do you say, hey, you just need a piece or two here?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because you don't know exactly what – you don't know what the thought process is with the GMs.
Sure.
With the coaches and whatnot. Well,
we kind of know with Golden State because he said, I'm out of here.
Well, yeah. He kind of finally kind of said that. You know, I think first off, and this goes across the board. I mean, not just right. NBA, NFL, MLB, you know, all sports. Teams get ready for the new season, and they're expecting win or bust.
Sure.
Win or bust, okay. At the same time, I think some teams have to honestly be realistic and to know what kind of talent that they have, the kind of market that they have, you know what I'm saying, if they're able to attract players to come and play. Because all of that does hold a special factor to see if you can get people to come in to help you get over the top.
Yeah.
You're looking at teams like Golden State, you're looking at teams like Boston, you would think that they would probably only need maybe a piece here, maybe a piece there to help them get over. You know what I'm saying? But then it comes to the next season and you see these guys getting beat in the second round, in the third round.
Right.
I don't think that it causes for an overhaul, but then again, sometimes we hold on to our teams hold on to a certain combination, and maybe that just is just for too long. Maybe it's just it's there, but it's just not there. Like you always hear this. I've been hearing this about the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum thing for the longest. I mean, years after years after years after years.
Right.
You know, they make it to the finals, and you're thinking, okay, well, they finally did it, but then they can't win the finals. Then we go to this past season. You know, they tried to show their ass coming back from an 0-3 deficit, but still got beat, you know, and the talk is there again. And now you hear them saying, we want to re-sign Jaylen Brown. Okay,
right.
That's fine and dandy, but what else are you going to add aside from that? I don't know, man. It's different for every team. But it's just, I just think it's just, in just different certain situations. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I feel like if you make it to the playoffs and you lose, you gotta ask yourself, okay, did we achieve? Did we overachieve? Did we underachieve? You know, can this be a building block where we can keep on going? Or did we not get to where we wanted to be? And again, that goes back to like the GM, the ownership, the, you know, however they feeling.
Yeah, but I mean, as fans, like, okay, whenever I hear questions like this and stories like this, I always think back to the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. And the reason why I do that is one of the things Mark Cuban has said in owning the Dallas Mavericks is the biggest mistake he's ever made is busting up that team.
I feel
you. Is breaking up that team because he said everyone told him that team was too old. Everyone said that. Dirk is old. Kid is old.
Kid
is old. Shot that they're old. The center. I always forget his name.
Tyson Chandler.
Old. He can't play anymore. Get rid of him. Tyson Chandler wanted to stay. He wanted to stay and finish his career in Dallas. They told him, nope, too old, break him up, and haven't won since then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got close, sure. But because of that, he has said he will never do that again. So that's why you kind of see him keeping some players that you're like, what in the world? But I say that to say this. When you look around the league, And you're right. It depends on the situation. It depends on what's going on. Sometimes you need an overhaul. Sometimes you got to just say, look, in order for us to get better, we have, you know, addition by subtraction. Right. You got to get rid of players.
Right.
I think when you look at Boston, I don't think you get rid of players, that your two main guys, but you've got to do something else. There has to be a different direction. When you look at Golden State, that might be one of those addition by subtraction. It may be some pieces there that you may say, hey, look, we need to go get some dudes that fit more in what we want to do.
You think it might be time for Golden State to kind of just shake that up? They've held on to that core for the longest with Clay.
Sure.
With Steph.
About 8 years or so, something like that. Yeah. 7, 8 years. Yeah, it's time to shake it up. Not big. I like Wiggins. Wiggins can stay. You do something with Poole. Yeah, he just got signed, but I'm sure someone somewhere will want him. Draymond, to me, this ain't it. There's rumors that he wants to go to L.A. Hey, look, they like old players down there. Take them down there. Maybe a different, you know, scenery for him might work. I don't know, man. Like, I look at, like, Miami. Like, Miami has one all-star. Jimmy Butler is not a superstar. Let's get that straight. He is not a superstar.
Okay.
He is an all-star.
Okay.
But that all-star is good enough, and that team is good enough to be in the finals. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what, the past, let's see, since the Pandy, so, gosh, they've been in the finals, what, 2-3 years? Mm-hmm. Out of the past 4 or 5?
Yeah, they have.
That's significant.
Yeah. It is,
like, bro. That's LeBron numbers.
It is.
That's LeBron numbers.
But he still has to get over that hump.
Well, there's that part. Here's a question. If he wins the championship, I don't think he does. Not this year. But if he wins the championship, where do you put Jimmy Butler?
As far as,
would you then say he's a superstar?
You gotta kind of give that credit. I mean, the funny part about it is that even though we're saying all-star,
yeah,
media has made him into a superstar.
True. Very true. Very true.
You know what I'm saying? And very him true. Already kind of being quote-unquote a superstar, him winning the championship would kind of boost that idea of him being a superstar.
Right.
Jimmy Butler carried the Miami Heat to a championship. For sure. That's going to be the narrative. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever think, and appreciate the like, man. So thank you so much. Did you ever think Bam Adebayo would be a guy that's like, hey, it's Butler and Bam and Butler. Butler, Bam. No. Bam Adebayo? Come on,
I don't think anybody really did. But going back to like you said, the Mavericks, did anybody think it was Dirk and Jason Terry, Dirk and Chandler?
Against LeBron, D Wade,
and Chris Bosh. You know what I'm saying?
No, not at all. Not at all. But that team was able to overcome that. So, again, to that point of overhaul versus pieces. No, man. I don't think it has to be drastic. I think you have to get to a point where, look, this is just not working. I actually think about the Lakers. If you remember when the Lakers, they signed all these old dudes. I say old, but they're on their last year. You know what I'm talking about? The glove.
The Karl Malone era.
Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary Payton.
All of them was ring chasing. They're trying to get that one ring before they retire.
Right. Right. The original ring chasers, as I call them. Yeah. Everybody want to talk about LeBron, but hey, Those were the original ring chases.
We knew what that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And no one said anything. That was crazy about it to me. No one said anything. No one said, oh, look at Karl Malone and Gary Payton. No. They said, hey, I hope they get one. And they didn't because karma. Karma. Karma.
So.
Yeah.
So. For example.
Yes.
Because I came about this idea when I texted to you because I was listening to the radio. Mm. Local radio, I'm not going to tell you what station because 1 minute, they so wishy-washy when it comes to the Mavericks. I hate it when they talk about the Mavericks. But let's just kind of discuss, like, looking at the Mavericks. 2 seasons ago, they overachieved and went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
With a team that we pretty much didn't expect them to get that far, but they did.
Okay.
Now they don't even make the playoffs this next season. Well, this season they don't make the playoffs, but yet they do a drastic trade, get Kyrie Irving to help out Luka, and now everybody is calling that a disaster, even though these guys really didn't get to play that much, you know, together throughout the season.
But
is it a overhaul type of offseason for the Mavericks, or are we just adding pieces?
So here's the thing about that part. Okay, was it a disastrous trade?
No.
Yes.
Not to me.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine to you, but the numbers bear out. Again, numbers don't lie. They can be manipulated, but they don't lie. When they're together, when they were together on the floor, when Irving and it was Irving, Luka, I think it was Bertans or someone like that. They were like, Woods. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
When those three were on the floor, they were a minus 38 in efficiency, in net efficiency, a minus 38, minus 38.
Okay.
Now, you may say, well, Jay, those are just numbers. Those are real numbers, though. When they're on the floor together, they suck. They don't have defense. They were getting beat by Charlotte. I went to the game. Charlotte. It wasn't even close. And they were trying to get into the playoffs. Irving doesn't play defense. Luka doesn't play defense. Woods doesn't play defense. You got to play defense. So what do you do if you're the Mavs before this trade? You get rid of, or you, and look, Jalen Brunson leaving was significant. People can say it wasn't, but it was.
I'm giving it.
It was very significant. Because guess who was in the playoffs and who wasn't?
New York.
Guess who else was in the playoffs and who wasn't? Brooklyn. I'm just saying, Dinwiddie traded playoffs. Brunson traded playoffs. That's the Maverick way, though. If you get traded from the Mavericks, you go to the playoffs either that year or the very next year. It's been going on since Mark McGwire. That's just what it is, okay? That's just what it is. They did a dumb thing this season. Other teams will do dumb things. Trading for KD was dumb in Phoenix. Trading for Kyrie was not the smart move because now – you don't have picks. You don't have second-round picks. You don't have first-round picks, right? You don't. And so you have to – I mean, it's a dumpster fire, bro. And then you don't have money to go get people. Like, you're trying to bank on signing Kyrie to the max. And you probably will. But does that make this team better? No, because there's no one else around him.
Well, I think they set that up bad by giving Tim Hardaway Jr. another contract.
Well, clearly, Tim Hardaway. And that's is the thing. I liked Tim Hardaway Jr. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. just I don't know.
He's so streaky. He's just
man.
Very, very streaky.
Yeah. And unfortunately, his streak is like really bad right now. He's on the bad streak. But you trade him. You don't trade Dinwiddie. I don't get that. You trade, Bullock. You don't. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's they'll extend the rookie Green. I like him. But
I like Green. That, I like Green. I like Jaden Hardy.
Yeah, I like him too.
Of course, Luka. I love having Kyrie here. He's very entertaining to watch, and I love seeing him in a Maverick uniform.
He is entertaining to watch, but he doesn't win.
I mean, he's a proven champion. He's a proven champion. I mean, he already has a ring. So
he has a ring with LeBron.
You know, for the Mavericks though, this it's kind of hard. It's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off in the offseason, what they're going to do. Because the talk has always been about trying to get rid of these pieces that it just apparently it just seems like nobody wants. Like nobody wants Dwight Clark.
Do you think Kyrie is a good leader of a team?
Is a good leader of a team.
Do you think he's a good leader of a team? Like you can say, hey, he is the captain, he's the leader, he's the vet that everyone looks to say, hey, let's listen to him. Let's rally around him.
I don't think that was ever his forte, so to speak.
Because watch what I'm about to tell you. Luka's not.
Oh, I can tell you that.
So when you don't have a leader on the squad, how far do you think you're really going to go? Because here's the thing. Dinwiddie and Brunson were leaders. And that's why they could do what they did.
I hear you.
And Luka didn't have to do that. Now that Luka has to be the leader, he's not that guy.
Anything can change. That's why I say this is going to be very interesting, especially for the squad. You know, I'm a diehard Maverick fan. I'm going to ride with him regardless.
Listen.
Whatever. But, yeah. Yeah. I'm there with you. I'm there with
Mavericks
you.
Fan for life, bro. But I'm a basketball fan as well. And I'm a realist.
Yeah, and the reality
is, you need a leader in that locker room. You need a leader on the floor. And right now, they don't have one. And that's why they suffer. That's why they suffer. Hey, man, let's get into this next thing, bro. And we kind of touched on it. Analytics helping or hindering the sports. And really just sports in general. This kind of hit me because I've been seeing stuff, and really we've been seeing it for years now. There's one particular high school coach who does not punt. He never punts because he says the percentages say, or actually he doesn't kick field. Yeah, he doesn't kick field goals. He's like percentages say, hey, with my kicker and the way the things are, I have a better chance of making a first down or a touchdown on fourth down than kicking a field goal. So he doesn't kick field goals.
He doesn't have a trust in his kicker. Probably doesn't even have a kicker on the team, damn
it. Maybe just for kickoffs, because they have to do that. But no, he doesn't kick field goals. So, I mean, do you think that's – I mean, we've seen it in baseball. To me, it's kind of like fantasy football. It's like fantasy sports. You're like, hey, I'm going to pick this player and this player and do these plays and these plays based on statistics.
Yeah. It's funny. I think analytics helps in a way to see something that you might not have seen or might not have noticed. You know, a different strategy or something about a team or a player that you know that you never kind of noticed before, and it can help you probably help exploit an advantage. I've always felt that sports was almost like it was just a feeling thing.
I was going to ask you, would you rather have your coach solely base his decisions on analytics and numbers and statistics?
No.
Or go with his gut?
No. I would. My thing is, I mean, if he wants to throw in some analytics in there, that's cool. But at the same time, man, common knowledge, man. Just common knowledge of the sport. You know, knowing what you have as far as your players. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just a feeling thing. Sometimes it's just like, damn it, fuck the analytics. We're going to go for this fourth and one, and we're going to get this damn first down so we can hold the ball and keep the ball out of their hands. You know, right. I mean, just you know what I'm saying? Like, even we, no, we watch NFL football, and sometimes we even scratch our head like, why the hell would they make this call?
And they ask the questions. They ask me, why'd you go fourth and 14?
Well, we looked at the numbers, analytical aspects and the numbers are total that you're going to have a better chance of, you know, making the first down.
Right.
You know, so we went ahead and just did the punt, you know, but, you know, defense just didn't hold down and they just didn't hold them up.
That's whack. That's whack. That's whack. Like, was analytics being used for the Seahawks debacle?
Oh, man.
When they should have gave to Marshawn Lynch?
And there's a podcast that he's on. I can't remember the name of it. He's talking about that. And he's like, wait, what? Everybody knows. And it don't even matter. Give him the ball. Give him the damn ball. Run the ball in.
Stocks, we all watched that Super Bowl. You mean to tell me when they was on that goal line, that 1 yard line, Stocks, I swear to God, everybody just straight said it. Marshawn Lynch about to get this ball. It is over. We all said it. And then you mean that, like, everybody's face was the same face as, what's your boy, Richard Sherman?
Yeah.
Everybody's face. We could not believe that. That's what I'm saying.
You have the best runner in between the tackles in the game. In the game. He literally has patented the term beast mode. He is beast mode.
Yes.
And you mean to tell me you don't think he can get 1 yard? 1 yard with the game on the line? Nah, man. And he had been destroying that team the whole game.
Okay.
The Pats could not hold him.
Okay, dog. That's what I'm saying, dog. We knew
the whole game.
We knew this. We knew Marshawn was going to get the ball. We knew, or so we all thought.
So we thought. And they got cute. And you know what happens when you get cute like that? Your ass busted. That's what happened. That's what happened.
I think it can give you an advantage that you might not have seen. But I think at the grand scheme of it, man, if you have common knowledge of the game, I mean, damn it, I would have ran a goal line run playing Madden if that was the case.
Man.
You know?
Dude. I mean, four times we're running the ball. We're running the ball four times. We're running it.
Dead serious, man. Dead serious. I'm surprised none of the linemen didn't call a fucking timeout. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? As soon as they broke it, like, they looked at Russell was like, hey, timeout. Why is the lineman calling a timeout?
Bring in the other one. He can hand the ball off easy.
For real,
he knows how to do that. He's done it in practice lots of times.
Bring in that second string. Hey, look, all you got to do is hand the ball off, bro. That's it. Real solid.
Clearly. Real man. Yeah, I mean, that's – and I think that goes back to that whole analytics versus gut feeling of, you know, analytics at a certain point, yes, they do bear out, but there's also a point where it's like it's you against the other person and you're playing chess. And, yeah, you can talk about tendencies, and analytics goes into that. You know, they tend to do this on, you know, third and three from the 45 from their own 45 or from, you know, our 45. This is what they tend to do. That's a tendency. I get that. But when we start talking analytics, like, well, the statistics say blah, blah, blah. Come on, man. Hey, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go against that because they have the same analytics as well. They have the same numbers as well. They know them just as well as you do. So I think you have to have a good mix of both. Uh-huh. I think you have to have a good mix of both. But just to go solely to blame it on analytics. Yeah. That's what I hate about McCarthy. Yeah. Man. He's, yeah. Well, you know, the analytics. You know. But shut up.
Yeah, you let that boy, you're using that as a scapegoat. Dog. You're using that as a scapegoat.
As a scapegoat in the crush. Well, you let that boy make that stupid decision, and that's what it was. And you should have said, hey, that's not going to work. I know because I've been in the game for a long time. That's not going to work. Nah. Right. Nah.
Facts.
That's it. Man, let's jump into this thing real quick because I definitely want – I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a chop shop, y'all, on BGS Network.
You know, that's how it is.
Bro. Like, subscribe, hit the bell, please. Thank you for everybody tuning in. The like on Facebook. You know, follow us, Jay Styles. Follow me, A Reed TV. Y'all already know what it is.
You know what we didn't do? You know what we haven't talked about? Are fans too demanding of players and teams? Are fans too demanding?
Yeah.
Players and teams.
Yeah. Look at the fan bases. Look at the fan bases. They speak for itself. Philly fan base. Oh my God. Boston fan base. Oh my God.
Raiders. Dallas Cowboys. The fan base.
Cowboys fan base. You know.
But I think in now in the advent of, especially with fantasy, people root for players now, I think, I won't say more than teams, but just as much. And so they'll say, oh, I like this player. It's like, yeah, but you don't like the team? No, I don't like the team, but I like that player. So I root for that player. Right. So if that player switches teams, okay, I'm rooting for that player on that team. So you have four different jerseys. If you're a LeBron fan, you have four different jerseys. KD fan, you know, just saying.
But I mean,
Kyrie,
which I still want to give me a Dallas Maverick Kyrie jersey. But not for you.
Yeah, I root for my team. But again, I'm an old person. So I do those types of things. But are fans too demanding of players and teams at this point? Do they expect too much?
I think the fans who aren't rational, the ones who aren't rational, they expect too much. I think the fans that are actual realists, that really follow their team, and honestly know, you know, what their team is going to do, or, you know, they have a realistic idea of where their team might end up being, you know, I think those people are, you know, they're more common sense. I mean, it's like, let's say like the old Oakland Athletics.
They're moving to Vegas.
Yeah, they're moving to Vegas, but yeah. I don't hear nobody who's a fan of the A's talking about we're going to the World Series.
That's true.
You know, that's true. But that's true. Because I feel like they honestly know, like, hey, shit. You know, if we win 10 games, we good. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know,
that is true.
I think at some point you have to be a realist to understand your team and you know, definitely have a goal that you would like to see them achieve, you know. Especially, I mean, like we were saying, like with the Mavs earlier, we didn't expect them to get to the Western Conference Finals.
That's true.
you know.
But this year we was happy.
Yeah, but this year, based off of what happened last year, we was like, hey, you know, it should be better. It should be Western Conference or, you know.
At least the playoffs.
At least the playoffs, you know what I'm saying?
At least the playoffs.
Which I feel is fair. I feel it's fair, you know. For a fan base to feel that, especially if your team just went to the playoffs and stuff like that.
Yeah, but again, we talk about the teams and what they look like, and you know that team
towards the middle of the year
was not the same team that went to the Western Conference Finals. Hmm. They weren't. Like we talked about, Cowboys fans are ridiculously unrealistic. Because they think they should go to the Super Bowl every year, and they shouldn't, be based on the play from previous years and decades and the moves that have been made or not made. And again, I sit here with my Cowboy shirt on, okay? Yes, at the beginning of the season, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then I see them play after maybe the first quarter of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the second quarter, I said, oh, maybe not. Let's just make the playoffs. Let's just do that, right? Because, again, I'm a fan of the game. Mm-hmm. I really am a fan of the game. I do think, though, with social media and with the 24/7 coverage of sports, I think fans are too demanding. And I think we feel as though as fans, hey, you should be doing this and you should be doing that. Like we're talking directly to pro athletes and telling them what they need to do at their job.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine if they came to our job and said, hey man, what you doing? You ain't doing that right.
Not real talk though. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk.
We'd be pissed. We'd be upset.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? Oh man, yeah, you ain't laying that track down right. Say, bro, you keep it moving.
Like real, man.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I've had to do and kind of dial it back because I would be, you know, again, rabid fan, but who am I to tell Michael Parsons, man, bro, you need to take better angles. You just keep whiffing. On the plays that you should. These sacks, you can have so many more sacks if you did XYZ. Come on.
It's like fans expect your teams to go undefeated.
Yeah.
They expect every play to be the most perfect play. You can't miss a shot. You can't miss a tackle. You can't miss a field goal. You got to catch every pass.
Yeah.
Every time you run the ball, it has to be a first down. You know what I'm saying? It's just like it's just saying just all these unrealistic kind of things, and you just, you know, as a realist fan of the sport and of my team, you really have to understand what your team is capable of and what they can do, what they can and they can't do.
You know what? That kind of brings me to the last point that we're going to talk about tonight. I think part of that is also because people play video games. And in the video game, you can break a 60-yard run on easy or normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're thinking, hey, they should, if I can do that in Madden, you can do that on the field. If I can do that in 2K, you should be able to do that on the court. If I can score 60 points every game I play in 2K, you should do that too.
Yeah.
You should do that too. I score 10 points, 10 goals in FIFA every time I play. Why are they not doing that? You kidding me?
Are you using modifiers?
Man. Oh, cheaters.
What level are you really playing it on?
Man, you know? But the thing that and I brought this up today in the chat, and man, you hopped on it like wildfire, was e-leagues and e-sports. Is there a time potentially that it will take over or at least be on the same par with quote unquote real sports or sports that are or played, you know.
I'ma say this. I don't think that it would take over from the actual true sports. I don't think it'd take over actual real true sports, because when you look at sports, these are people, whatever sport it is, these are guys that dedicated their lives to play this sport.
Yes.
And it's something about the mystique of seeing all of these people that have dedicated themselves to play this sport, going up against each other in real life situations to seeing who's the best of the best. Not saying that it's not the same in video games. You know, it does take time. It takes effort. You know, it takes all of that to practice, you know, but I don't see people busting a sweat like that, like those guys are. You know, you don't see these guys in the weight rooms like the sport. And then, but I will say this, I could see, and this is gonna sound real harsh, Jay Stein. This is gonna sound real harsh. I could see esports having more viewership and participation over like WNBA.
Oh man, look, I'm about to throw some numbers at you because you know I like numbers, but
yeah.
Here's the deal about esports, e-athletes, and all of that, right? When we talk about professional sports, the first thing that we got to talk about is where do pro sports come from? And the reality is they actually come from the college level, okay? Mm-hmm. The oldest football rivalry is not a pro rivalry. Never has been. It's actually been a collegiate rivalry. It's Yale and Harvard. They have the oldest rivalry, okay? As far as playing each other year after year after year after year.
Okay.
The collegiate game, the rules and how it's played is then emulated, of course, in the pros because that's where they go, right? So the pros will emulate college.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing right now is you're seeing colleges give scholarships to e-athletes.
Absolutely.
I sent you an article. I've sent you an article. It was in 2014. League of Legends, right? This is a video game. Uh-huh. Team-based, MOBA is what it's called, right? But that particular event, it was a championship. Sold out the Staples Center in 1 hour. Now you're like, well, that's 2014. How is that significant? It sold out. People watched other people play video games in an hour. Staples Center is not small to watch people play video games. Okay.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm.
You have e-athletes that are millionaires right now. They have contracts right now, right? So here's the numbers I was talking about. This past year, actually, so far in 2023, 540 million people around the world have watched some type of esports. 540 million is estimated or expected that 640.5 million next year will watch esports. Okay. The gaming industry right now, it's about $300 billion annually. That's how much they make. That's the revenue that they make. $300 billion. The NFL is the most watched sports, right? And we'd say American, but they have 16 billion viewers. 16 billion.
Okay.
The NBA averages 1.6 million viewership. They average that. So when you start talking these numbers here, right, and NBA is supposed to be a worldwide, or supposed to be, you know, become a worldwide league. When you start looking at these numbers, and here's the other thing about esports and video gaming is that anyone can get into it.
Hey, I think that's the thing.
Anyone can get into it.
That's right. The thing, because just anybody is not going to get into, you know.
You're talking about like 0.00001% that will make a pro team, you know, an NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, and to get into MLB, man, it takes a lot of time. I mean, you get signed in high school and you may, you know, be a rookie at 24, 25 years old.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? But if I can be an athlete, a pro e-athlete at 14, 15, 16, you know, making $500,000 a year, make $1 million by the time I'm 17, 18. You know, I have a YouTube channel and people watch me play and now, you know, sponsorships and all that, dude. And you can play anything from Madden to 2K to Street Fighter, Apex. I mean, yes.
Real talk. No, I think that's a good point because the gaming industry opens up for damn near any age. Okay.
Any age.
I mean, well, you can, you know, parents can allow their 6, 7, 8-year-old kid to just play the shit out of Minecraft.
Bro.
You see what I'm saying? That's me. Play Minecraft, man. Just keep yourself busy. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And the kid can take, he can do whatever he does on Minecraft, perfect it, like you said, make a YouTube channel, have people watching him play Minecraft on YouTube. And it just explode like that. So I can understand the viewership. I can understand
that. I mean, that's what mine does that to watch. They watch Fortnite. People play Fortnite. And then they go back and they play it. Mm-hmm. And he does the exact same thing that he sees them do. Or 2K, he's big into 2K. He's big into FIFA. He's big into Madden. And so that's, to him, that's it. He plays, you know, regular sports, right? He runs track, he plays football and soccer and all the other stuff, and he likes doing that. But he also really enjoys playing this stuff on the video game in virtual spaces. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. You're seeing people watch other people play, whether good or bad, you're watching them play.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They continue to get better, man. I'm telling you, esports, it will... In our lifetime, you will see more and more tournaments. You will see more and more of it becoming more mainstream. I'll say it like that. And especially where they're showing it and where people are viewing
their content. Yeah.
Say what?
I mean, when you drop numbers like that, like you said, it don't lie, man. It don't lie. So I could see that. Me being a gamer, I mean, it's you know, but at the same time, man, I'm just an old school guy, man. I love seeing raw talent in sports. You know, that's more compelling to me than
I get that. But you know, where are you watching your sports?
At the house.
Where are you watching it? You're watching it at the house, but you're watching it on TV, right? On the TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most of the people now, we're talking Gen Z, Gen A, right? Those, some millennials, they're watching it on their phones and tablets. They're not watching it on TV. They're not watching it on TV, right? So, like, right now, the biggest thing in MLB is teams are saying, hey, we're not renewing contracts, TV contracts, because you're not paying us, because people aren't watching. There's advertisers are not putting money into those local stations. They're putting them behind like YouTube TV, ESPN Plus, right? Streaming channels. That's where it is.
Yeah.
And so you pay for membership. And you say, hey, I want to watch the Padres, or I want to watch, you know, the Rangers, or whoever I want to watch on their streaming network or the bundle.
Yeah.
And that's it. So yeah, man, just hey, I'm training mine up. I'm ready for him to get that payday. However we get it.
Yo, look, I'm telling you though, I will say this, man. As much as I've played video games my whole entire life, I've loved video games my whole, and I will keep playing till my fingers get arthritis and I'm 80 years old. May God say the same. Look, I'm dead serious. If I knew what this would have been, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wish they would have offered that kind of stuff like in college. I wish they would have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We would have took a whole completely different path. But now that I know, man, I'm telling you, was my little boy AJ get a little bit older and can hold this controller and stuff? Yeah, son, yeah. I'm just to tell you.
Let's go.
There's money to be made in it. So I ain't even going to be mad when you're stuck in it. I'm not going to be mad if you over there play. Look, play that shit and get good, son. Get damn good.
There you damn go. Damn good. And let's go get paid.
Let's get
paid. Hey, man, we starting to wrap this show up. It's been a good one, man. It's been, you know, thought-provoking, real good stuff, as always, per usual. I was, like, chopping it up with you. Now it's time for that thing, man. You said you had three of them on lock. For those who don't know what we're about to do, this is Would You Rather. Let me tell you something. We be coming up with some stuff that really make you question your life and your decisions. It does, man. Your life decisions and your thought process. Like, do I really want to live right now? You know, like, maybe I need to do something different in my whole lifestyle. My whole house need to just change right now. You know, I look at my son different, man. I really do. I look at my son different right now.
You watching to see if he doing the single ladies, bro. That's what you does. Hey, bro. Put that down.
Right, hey, now, bro. We got that Would You Rather. And Reed, he going to get that first one out for us. All right, man. Go ahead. Let's do it.
Okay. First one, quite simple, though. Would you rather get caught having a quickie by your parents or your kids?
Would you say this is an easy one? Golly. Man, you know what? Probably, God, that's tough. My parents know what's going on. My kids probably won't. I could say we're wrestling. So I'll probably say my kids. I'll say my kids. We just wrestling.
I would probably more say parents, because I wouldn't want to traumatize the kids.
Yeah, true. Like I said, it's all how you package it though. Like what? There's nothing you can say with your parents, like except for my bad.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. My bad.
And I think it also depends on where is it happening. Is it happening at their house?
Wherever it's at, just man. They can be at your house. I mean,
but if I'm at my house, hey, you know what? That's their fault. I don't care. If it's at my house, I don't care. That's what happens at my house. You don't want to come over. You don't want to see that. Don't come to my house. Don't open doors.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, you could be sitting there giving the back shots, and the kid just walk right in the room. Hey, like you can't necessarily see. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like. The kid walking around, you go, oh shit.
Did you say giving them the back shots?
Giving the back shots, bro. That's what I'm saying, man. You know, so you gotta kind of.
I mean, look, here's the thing though. Every kid has seen their parents though doing the do. Every kid has seen it.
You know what?
Every kid has seen it.
You know what? That's what I'm saying, bro.
Every kid has seen it.
That's what I'm saying. And it still sticks with me to this day.
Why do you think I would say we just wrestling? Because that's what was told to me. Just wrestling.
I'd rather just get it done with the parents and be like, my fault, y'all. My fault.
I'm my not bad. Saying my fault in my house. My if it's bad. At their house, yes. Okay. My bad. Okay. My bad. But not in mine. Okay. No.
I got you.
Knock.
I got you. I got you. We close doors over here for a reason.
Man, if it's a closed door with a sock on the handle, we know what that means.
You know what it means.
If man, you know, you know.
Because we put a tie on the own door. Hey, man, someone ruined it, bro. You see that tie? You need to keep on walking.
Keep it moving keep now. On
okay.
What's the all next right. one, man?
My next man. One, man. My next
it's pretty off the rip.
Would you rather be a sewage worker or an animal control officer?
Damn. I've done both.
Really?
Yeah, I worked for the town of Pantego, and I had to do some of that. And it's yeah, animal control, man. I'd rather do that. Let me tell you something, man. It's something about that. When you gotta go down there. Oh God. Nah, man. Even just saying it brings up the smell.
No, damn.
At least with animal control, listen, I have a gun. I should
say that. Yeah, man. Yeah. I just feel like if I was a sewage worker, like that smell would never leave me.
Never. Never.
It would never leave me. You know.
Never.
Oh, yeah. And your car smelling like this shit.
Ugh. Bro, so you got to put on. Yeah, you put on the suit. You put on the suit, right? You put on the white paper suit thing. And you go down there and you put on the boots, rubber boots over that. You go down there and you scraping it, right? And you got to scrape it down. And then, yeah, and look, that is not. Listen, shout out to all the sewage workers in the world, okay? You are my hero.
You are very important part.
Listen, I know what gets flushed down my toilets, and I know what gets flushed down my garbage disposal, even though I tell them not to. Hey, big up to you.
Really?
I ain't. Nah, you deserve a pay raise.
Real shit, dog. Real shit. They need to be some of the highest paid suckers, bro.
Highest paid.
For real. Yeah.
What's that next one? That's a good. What about you, man? I think you feel the same way, though.
Animal control.
Animal control. Yeah. All day.
Yeah. Because I actually thought about like applying for that job like at one time. Just, you know, for the benefits, the city benefits. But then I just thought like, man, I go in with a white suit and I come out and then some bitch brown.
Bro, all day long, my foot up a dog ass. No, bang, 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 bang.
No. I'm good. I feel like I would throw up every single day.
Every day.
Just from the smell. Seriously.
Every day. Man, hit us with that last one.
Last one, I think you'll like this one because you're a big Marvel head.
I am.
Would you rather wake up with skin like the Thing or skin like Colossus?
Skin like Colossus. Because it's smooth. You already know. I want to be rough like that, man. Ladies don't like that, man. They like that smooth right there. Be smooth, smooth. Smooth, man.
Shiny.
Smooth.
Smooth, shining silver.
It's that splash. It's that splash, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, the Thing. Man, come on, man. The Thing. No one likes the thing, man. No one likes the thing. You know who liked the Thing? It was a black blind woman liked the Thing. She was like, oh, that's it. Nah, bruh. Mm-mm. That's who liked him. It's a black blind woman. Read the comics. It's true. That's who liked it.
Yeah,
it's right. A black blind woman.
Oh, it's okay, baby.
Yeah, it's like, you're beautiful to me.
You're beautiful to me.
Because you're blind.
It's clobbering time, then.
Wearing that out.
Wearing the shit out.
Man.
Oh, giving her that business, nigga, with a rock, wasn't it?
God. I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. Ooh, that ain't sunshine. That's sundown. Look here, man.
You silly, dude. You silly. But real talk, people. Real talk.
Welcome to my world. Hey, thank you so much for being here in the shop with the buff nerd, Jay Soggs, and of course, that dude right there. Hey, Reed, the musicologist. Make sure that you hit him up Mondays for the man cave. He gonna give it to you. He gonna give it to you tomorrow. Please join. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and share. Ring that bell. Smash it so you know next time that you'll know when BGSE podcast is coming on. Of course, tomorrow we have Two Birds, One Show and Blurted Two special. We're going to be doing it hopefully pretty early. But before Two Birds, One Show. So we're definitely going to have that coming up. Peace, love, and all of that that comes with it.
Most definitely.